Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, every time I say that I'm going to preach for a long time, a short time, it ends up being long. But today, God being my witness, I will preach for a very short time. Hallelujah. Today, I just have 2 points in my series of giant slayers. Hallelujah. Today, for a short time, I want to show you what happens when you have defeated your giants. How will you know that you've taken down a giant? Ask your neighbor, how will I know when I've taken down a giant? Hallelujah. I've been enjoying preaching and teaching this couple of days. Especially yesterday, we were under a cloud of anointing. You know, my anointing is not dramatic, but it's powerful. It's powerful. My anointing is in catching it and going to apply it. It's not on touch your screen. Yeah, touch your screen, you must watch TV on Sunday. Hallelujah. Do you want to know how you will know when you've conquered a giant? Powerful. Well, today is Resurrection Sunday. You know, I'm not blind and deaf and insensitive to the fact that, you know, the Easter weekend, we are celebrating the death and the resurrection of our Savior. Hallelujah. But I'm moving by the Spirit. The message that God has put in my heart is the message I'm giving you. And I believe it's a timely message. It's a seasonal message. Because God wants to take you to another level of your life. Are you listening to me, somebody? Tell your neighbor, I'm going higher. We lift him higher. Higher. When the praises, his glory, we lift him higher. We lift him higher. When the praises, his glory. Hallelujah. So my Savior is here. My Jesus is here with us. My Jesus has been the one talking to us this whole few days. And my Jesus is taking you wang susala, wang tatala, wang begala, wang susala. He is busy ising you eh. Le. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for him. I'm very serious. Your life is taking another direction. Are you listening to me? And the Lord told me 2 months ago, a month or so ago, he said, brother, don't work alone. I'm here. And so ministry now is taking another level. God is coming into our church in a strong way. The Holy Ghost has been showing me how to work with him. The Bible says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship or the communion. That word communion, it means the partnership of the Holy Spirit. It means that the Holy Ghost is your partner here on earth. You don't have to do it alone. You have a partner. Are you listening to me? I said, what? No, I said I'll preach for a short time. I have to hold myself. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How will you know when you have conquered your giants? First Samuel chapter 16. I really want to encourage you to get the messages. They've been recorded, all 3-4 of them. Hallelujah. Please. And listen to them over and over again. There is power. Are you listening to me? There's tremendous power. Get them and listen to them over and over and over again. You know a chewing gum? You know a chewing gum? And get it when you chew it, it's got a lot of flavor. And you chew and you chew and you chew and you throw it away when the flavor is gone. Get this message. There's more. You didn't hear everything I said. I promise you. You didn't hear everything I said. Get it and listen to it like you eat a chewing gum till you suck everything out of it. Before you move to something else. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Say, neighbor, I love you so much. Does a neighbor believe? Maybe look at the other one. Say, neighbor, I love you so much. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll take it from verse 14. Are we there? Nombumelelo, when is 11:30? Tell me, I'll stop. Hallelujah. All right. The Bible says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Hallelujah. There's so much here that I pray that God will reveal it to you. A demon comes to trouble this guy. And the solution is, let a guy come and play music and you'll be relieved from the evil spirits. Someone say music. Are you just listening? Ah, yo, yo. Ah, yo, yo. What's the latest? Boy, what's the latest? Okay, someone tell me what's the... Noms, I know you won't disappoint me. No, just tell me the name. What's the latest? Dipaje. It's a song. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Isn't Paje something you smoke? But it's a song. What are they saying in that song? No, translated in English. Huh? The weed of fellow. What does that mean? Or the weed, Pharaoh is someone, fellow. And people listen. Okay. Let's leave that one. So what I'm trying to say is that when you listen, something is happening. Do you understand? Very, very important. Satan thrives in darkness. He loves darkness. In the spirit realm, darkness is not that it's black. Darkness is ignorance. Darkness is lack of knowledge. Darkness is being unaware of what is going on. It's not the fact that it's black, or you know. So Satan loves it when we don't know what he's doing. So sometimes the things that we do not know what they attract and the impact and influence in our lives. So Saul was experiencing, because he disobeyed God, and the Holy Spirit left him, and an evil spirit entered him, and this evil spirit was tormenting him every day. So the servants around him, they said, look, you need good music. Because that time Jesus had not come back. Jesus had not come. And so there was no casting out demons. Now I can't preach when I'm concerned about time. But what I was saying is that what was I saying? Okay, can you allow me to preach and forget about time? I've been planning to preach for a short time. Hallelujah. All right, let's continue reading. Maybe it will come back to me. I'll take it from verse 16 again. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. Yes, I remember now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You will notice that in Scripture, especially, can we just bite these things that are disturbing me today? Help me quickly. Hallelujah. You will notice in Scripture, especially, God will give instruction to his children to go and fight an enemy, and he will say, kill everything. God will go to the point where he says, kill even the animals. Kill the children. Kill everything. Why would God do something like that? A good God, a loving God, a kind God, a merciful God. He says, kill everything, including child, including woman, including animal. There must be nothing left. It is because Jesus had not come. When evil spirits will infiltrate a place, there was no hope. The only way to keep a place clean was to let them go. That's why now we are living in a dispensation of grace. You can make a mistake and make a mistake, and there is hope for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In the Old Testament, God was forced to do a lot of harsh things. In the first flood, Noah's flood, the reason why he had to kill everybody is because of the giants. The giants were they were an illegal race on the earth. They were not made by God. It was through wickedness and evil, with the intention to come and bully. In fact, the real intention was to corrupt the seed of man. Because God had said to the woman, thy seed shall bruise thy head. So it was a strategic plan of the enemy to ensure that there's no seed that's going to bruise my head. So he said, I'm going to contaminate the human species so that the plan of God cannot work. So the giants were multiplying fast, to the point that there was no clean breed. There was no clean breed from Adam's stock. I don't know if you understand what I mean. So God didn't have a choice because his son had not yet come. The only way to deal it was to kill everything and only save the pure species, the pure human species. That's why the flood happened. To even understand it more, if you read the story about Lot going to Sodom, Sodom was the wildest, most sinful place you can think of. That Abraham interceded and said, God, if there's 50 there, you can't destroy. He even went to 10. Abraham must have thought, at least there must be some 10 righteous people in that place. When God went and searched, there was no 10 people that were righteous. That place was so wicked and so sinful that the Bible says angels went there, two angels went there. Because it was through Abraham's intercession that God had made a plan to save Lot from the destruction of everything there. And so angels went there to remove Lot so that he doesn't die when the place is destroyed. Because Lot has spent a lot of time with Abraham, Abraham had a lot of visitations. Even Jesus himself visited Abraham. The Jesus who was born some 2,000 years ago, and Abraham who lived longer than that, way before that, Jesus visited him. In the book of John chapter 8, I believe, Jesus said, "And Abraham was happy when he saw me in my day." Scripture is delicious. So Lot was experienced. He had a lot of these encounters through his closeness to Abraham. So when he saw the angels, he recognized that these are divine beings. Are you listening to me? And so when he saw them, he invited them. And the angel said, no, we'll stay in the street. And Lot begged them and said, please come and stay in my house. Eventually, he won and they came into his house. When they were in his house, the Bible says the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah came to Lot's house. And they said, those two men that came into your house, we want them. Why? They wanted to sleep with them. It's in your Bible. I'm not telling you something. I think it's Genesis chapter 19, somewhere there, if I'm not mistaken. Are you here?
Amen.
So this guy Lot went out to beg the men of the city. You thought homosexuality is just a today thing. He went to beg the men of the city. He even said, take my daughters, which are virgins. Do whatever you want to do with them. Hey, be careful, some of your parents are dangerous. Trading with you, trading your life. And the men said, no, we don't want the daughters, we want the men. And they said, okay, since you are now becoming a chacharach, we will take you. And as they were trying to take Lot, the angels took Lot and put him in the house. And the Bible says they struck the man with blindness to the point that they couldn't find the door anymore. Now you can see why God had to destroy that city. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He's not an evil God. He's not a bad God. It's just that grace and mercy was not in the earth yet. Hallelujah. I think it's a good time to celebrate the life of Jesus. Very, very powerful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What verse were we on? I think verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. So this is David. Someone knew David, and so they advised Saul and said, there's a guy called David, let him come and play with for you. Verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son. Listen to what Saul is saying. Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly. So Saul loved David greatly. Do you understand? They had a good relationship, so to say. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he had found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Hallelujah. Amen. What do you think David was playing there? Do you think he was playing, what's the song you just mentioned? Departure. Do you think he was playing there? He was playing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures." So he was basically singing the Psalms. And the presence of God will come and the evil spirit will have to go. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are we on the same page? Alright. Now let's go to chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 15. Now, this is chapter 17 is when the Philistines and the Israelites were about to go into war. Do you remember? And Goliath came and stood there and was saying, "Let one man come and fight me." Do you remember? So we'll take it. This was happening. And then let's take it from verse 15. The Bible says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now when I read this, it touched me. David's profession, his work, was to take care of his father's sheep. In his family, he was the lowest. In his family, he was nothing. The people who were valued and who were precious in his family were his older brothers. And they were soldiers. And even the father really, really loved his older sons. In fact, Bible scholars believe that David was an illegitimate child. He was born out of wedlock. His father did some things and then the child was born. So he didn't have the same relationship with David the way he had with his other sons. Are you still here? Amen. So, when Saul started having his problems, they called for David. And David suddenly saw himself from the sheep to the castle. From the sheep next to the king. I'm sure David thought that my life now, I've made it. I'm here. That was chapter 16. As I'm reading, and the Bible says, he's back at the sheep. You see, until you defeat your giants, you're not there yet. David made it to the castle through skill. The Bible says that the way he played the harp, skillful, beautiful. But it's not skill that kills giants. It's not skill. I told you yesterday, the giants will die when you draw close to God. Amen. So sometimes in life, you will see yourself rising high. And all of a sudden, you are down again. Know that the giants are still there. They are not dead. I listen to what I'm saying. Amen. Never be too comfortable until the giants are gone. Amen. My father used to say, when you are going up, make sure you make friends on the way. Because when you are coming down, you'll meet the same people. Never forget those words. If you are not kind to the people as you are going up, hey, it won't be nice for you as you are coming down. Until you defeat your giants, don't be too comfortable. You will have to take them down. If you are sick and tired of your current status of life, You cannot relax until you take them down. Amen. This is your season of making it. Your God is with you. Through this messaging, God is telling you, I am here, I'm with you. I'm ready to fight with you. I'm ready to go through this journey with you. So better make sure you jump into the road and run this race with God. And make sure that the things that are resisting you, you take them down. The things that are resisting your children, you take them down. Because sometimes you may see your child is a well child, very smart, intelligent. I mean, even your neighbors are saying, wow, you've got a good one here. And your child is growing up in life. All of a sudden, your child is back home. Your child has become a problem. Your child has become something that makes you cry every night before you sleep. The giants are not dead. The giants have not been slain. This explains why people rise and suddenly fall. Maybe Satan hadn't noticed your star yet. And when he sees you up there, says, hey, what are you doing here? Takes you down. Tell the neighbor that giants must die. Ladies and gentlemen, skill alone, talent alone is not enough. You need God. I listen to what I'm saying. You need God. You need God. You need God. Especially if you want to make it far in life. Especially if you have an appetite for life. You know, my brother, my younger brother was telling me, we were talking, me, myself, my mother and him. And he was telling me that a lot of his friends, telling us that a lot of his friends experienced depression. And we were having that type of conversation. And then he told us that sometimes why people experience depression is because of the, it's like, the vision they have for themselves is so big, and where they see themselves is far. And he was telling us that he had a particular friend. His friend, he said, me, I don't want too many things. I just want to get a place, go Kasi, and just have a house, go Kasi, and get married and have a job, and I'm happy. There are some people who are like that. Just a small house, my wife, my car, and I'm happy. Life's good, LG. But then there are other people who are like us, who are hungry for life. We want to make impact. By the time we leave the earth, we want to have made a mark that we were here. Now, if you are that type of individual, you better be a giant slayer. Are you listening to me? Amen. Ask your neighbor, are you hungry like me, or are you okay? What is your neighbor saying? They are hungry. Hallelujah. Let's jump to verse 51. I want to show you something. Are you there? Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I like David. I need someone who's taller than me. If you are taller than me, come quickly. Yeah, powerful. Stand there. So, you know, this is Goliath. I'm David. I mean, let's get a young man. Someone who's very short. Come. Yes, come. Run, sir. Run. Run! So this is David This is Goliath. You know the story. Goliath was not just a giant, but he had armor. Helmet and everything, breastplate and everything. David didn't have nothing. Remember, he was taking care of sheep. He was just coming to bring food, not prepared for war at all. And then, because of his boldness, that is birthed out of his relationship with God. He looks at this giant and says, this is nothing. I can take him out one time. So Saul says, let me give you my armor. And he tries to wear, and the thing is too heavy, the thing is too big. He says, no, I haven't tried this one. I've got my tried and tested. And he had a sling. And he went. When Goliath saw David, Goliath said, am I a dog that you come with me with a sling? He didn't know that this guy, in secret, he didn't know that that sling in that guy's hand is not just a sling. Because a force is behind him. A force is with him. Power is with him. Resurrection power is with this guy. So he took his sling. One time he threw it and he hit Goliath right here. Down, died. David could have said, yes, I have won. But I like it. He went to the guy, took the guy's sword, and chopped off his head. You must make sure your giant is dead.
Yes.
Make sure. Every now and then there will be a fly and I will hit it and go on with my business. Before I know it, the thing is flying again. So I have learned now that when I kill it, I must make sure it's dead. I must make sure. Many people don't make sure that their giants are dead. David took the giant sword, he took it and chopped off his head with his own sword. Tell him never say, kill the giant. Make sure it's dead. Yeah. As we rise and as this church grows, we must make sure that the giants in our mafias are dead. Dead, 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 dead. If we ever hear that someone was shot in our mafias, where? Mafias! Where I live, where my children live. You must rise up and say, Mr. Giant, you have made a mistake. Yeah. Not in mafias. Your amens are not blessing me.
Yeah.
We have to be jealous about where we live. We have to be jealous about our children. Are you happy even if it's not your child? Are you happy when you see a child tramp, a young man this size, tramp moving in the street, aimlessly walking in life, not knowing where he's going, not knowing what he's doing, and you just watch and you say, hey, Nkosia, my Jesus. Don't say hi, Jesus. Open your mouth. Let the giants know that in this environment, we don't allow such nonsense. Ah, your amens are not blessing me. I said, in this environment, we don't allow such nonsense. We are giant slayers from today. Listen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see, giants are not afraid of police. Police is nothing. Small boys, nothing. They can't do anything. They know that we are the dangerous ones. Because we know that it is a giant that is doing what we are seeing here. So when we fight, we don't fight the people here. We direct our attention to the giant that is destroying our community, that is destroying our children, that is destroying our lives. Let's take them down. Be jealous. Don't just feel pity. Your pity doesn't do anything. Especially in mafias. It's your territory. If God put you here, it means you must do something. I have a message ready for the women's conference. I hope you are ready. I hope you are ready. The title of the women's conference is Such That As I Have, I Give Unto You. Such as I have, I give unto you. You have something. Oh, Pastor Mara Minangamal, hey, you have something. And what you have can transform lives. Thank you, David. Thank you, Goliath. Put your hands together for that. Hallelujah. Now the giant is dead. Now we are about to see what happens when the giant has died. Are you ready to see? Let's continue reading verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Now, the first thing that happened, which is very interesting, the Bible says that when Goliath fell and David cut off his head, the whole army of the Philistines then ran away. You see, in war, you have to know who to target. If David would have tried to kill all the soldiers and then get to Goliath, Goliath was just going to just there. Blow him. He'll be tired. But David went for the giant. When he took down the giant, every other enemy ran away. So when you deal with the giants of your family, you'll solve so many problems in your family. When we as a church deal with the giants of Naumapias, we will solve so many problems in Naumapias. I'm telling you. So one of the ways you will know that you've defeated a giant, when you see a lot of problems disappear, a lot of problems disappear, then you know a giant has been taken down. A giant has fallen. Are you not excited about that? I think let's jump to verse 55. This is the one that really touches me. And when Saul saw David, let me read it in another version. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 55. After the king Saul had watched David go out to fight Goliath, Saul turned to the commander of his army and said, Abner, who is that young man? Are you here?
Amen.
You didn't see it. I'll read verse 55 again. After King Saul had watched David go out to fight Goliath, Saul turned to the commander of his army and said, Abner, who is that young man? Your Majesty, Abner answered, I swear by your life that I don't know. The commander says, I don't know this young man who just killed the Goliath. Then the king says, then find out, Saul told him. When David came back from fighting Goliath, he was still carrying Goliath's head. Abner took David to Saul and Saul asked, who are you? This is the most amazing thing. This is the David who was playing the harp for Saul. This is the David who was in the castle. Now the king is saying, hey, who's that boy? Listen, you will never be recognized until you kill your giant. Never be recognized until you kill your giant. God said to me, poverty is the cheapest demon to deal with. Very easy to deal with. Your amens have no faith. Should I stop preaching? If only you know what to do, then you'll see that certain enemies, you'll kill them with ease. Someone say ease. I will see many people struggling. There's something that people say, I'm hustling. I'm a hustler. It's people who don't walk with God who are hustling. Me, I'm not hustling. I'm searching for my giant. Because I know when I get him, when I get him, that's where I walk into my destiny. Imagine this guy working hard, playing for this guy. He was an armor bearer, but he was still not known. Not known. It's only when Goliath went down that they even started asking, as though they've never met him before in his life, who is that guy? And the commander, who should have known him, because David was the armor bearer. He was carrying the weapons of the king. So that means that you'll be around the king when the commanders of the army are there. And so the king asked the commander, who is that guy? The commander said, I'm not asking Kosiam. For the first time, I'm seeing this boy. And then he brought him. And he said, who are you, young man? You better kill the giant. Otherwise, you'll be toiling in life. You'll be working hard, doing many things. But when people are supposed to see you, they don't see you. When people are supposed to favor you, they don't favor you. When people are supposed to welcome you, they don't welcome you. It's because you haven't dealt with the giant. When you've dealt with the giant, they will know you by name. When you kill the giant, they will know you by name. When you kill the giant, they will search for you. If they're not searching for you, the giant is not dead. I tell you, it's not about skill. It's about who is with you. If Jesus is with you, we are dangerous. Amen. If you are trying to make up a skill, you will toil. You will toil. The key to this life is finding Jesus and being close to Him. There's a prayer topic that I'm praying. In the book of John chapter 17, Jesus, being aware that he's about to die and go to his Father, he starts making some prayers to God. And one of the things that he says, he prays that, Lord, let the people and us be one. That's my prayer every day. Lord, I want to be one with you. One thing. There's no color, there's no Jesus. You and I are one. When they look at me, they see Jesus. When I smile, they see the smile of Jesus. When I show them love and affection, they interpret it as the love and affection of Jesus. I'm crying to be one with Him. It's my prayers every day. Every day, every day. Sometimes when I'm praying about other things, I can't finish my prayer without asking Him, Lord, I want to be one with you. Please enter my heart. Please make my heart your home. Lord, if you have to do renovations in my heart, please do whatever you want to do, because I want to be yours. In fact, Lord, I don't want people to see me anymore. I want them to see you in me. So that it's no longer me who lives. It is Christ who lives through me. These are my cries every day. Hey, listen to me. If you can develop that relationship with Him, that you and Him, it's no longer your God, just God. It's your friend. It's your Father. It's your companion in this life. When you walk with that person, I tell you, the giants of your life will fall. They will fall. So another way you will recognize that you have slain a giant is when people start recognizing you. When people start asking about your name. When people start consulting about, I've heard about this person, where is that person? Then you know that your giants have fallen. Can I share you one more? Come to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll take it from verse 10. Are you there? Ask your neighbor, are you there?
Right. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you have killed the giants, things will start coming to you without fighting for them, without working for them. Fulfilling that scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then all these things shall be given. Not you will work for them, not you will struggle for them, not you will fight for them, shall be given. Given. So the Bible says that when you kill your giants, houses that you didn't try to build, you didn't work hard, you didn't work for years to build them, suddenly you'll be owning a house. Suddenly things in your life will start going well. Everything will be opened up. Everything you try turns into gold.
Amen.
Then you know you have slain your giants.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I love the Bible. And I love to see Bible happening in my life. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
So kill your giants if you don't want to sweat for everything in this life. Because sometimes you can also sweat and nothing. When you sweat and nothing, it means you are toiling. The word toiling means you are working hard, but there are no fruits to show for your labor. So you better aim for the giant. And the giants knows the ones who are serious with God, the ones who have a relationship with God. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. You, who are you? So, build yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be in a hurry. Please, don't. Anything that comes fast goes away fast. Take your time. Build your relationship with God. Once you find him, maintain that relationship with him. Let's continue reading and let's see the advice that Moses gives them. Verse 12. In fact, let me, in verse 11 it says, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. This is the problem of many people. The things that they do to get them to the top, once they're at the top, they stop doing them. When you are at the bottom because you are desperate, you learn to pray. And you're even praying dangerous prayers. When you get to the top, you say, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Even the voice is not hallelujah. Many people, when they get to the top, they forget God. If they prayed their way to the top, when they get there, now they are too busy for praying. They don't know that the Bible says that after Jesus had an encounter with Satan and defeated him, the Bible says he left him for a season. It means he's coming back. Ladies and gentlemen, while you are in this flesh, this body will be fighting. That's why only when you die, they say rest in peace. If you are not dead, you are in war. David's biggest mistake was relaxing too much. The Bible says that when the kings were at war, David was in his house, moving around, checking what God has given him. Man? Am I saying correctly? Then and he saw a girl bathing there. Problems. If he didn't relax, he wouldn't have had time to be seeing girls bathing. He'd be killing the giants. Are you here?
Amen.
I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who saved me, washed me with his blood, turn my life around and send me to you.
Amen.
That you develop a prayer life.
Amen.
And not that you pray just this week, a prayer life. And when God has defeated your enemies, don't let go of your prayer life. It is your foundation. It is your rock. It is your everything. That's why Moses said, please don't send me if you will not go with me. Everything I am. Moses was just a guy in the wilderness. People had forgotten about him. In fact, he had a label that he's a murderer. God took him from the wilderness and made him one of the greatest men who ever walked the earth. You can't preach and not mention Moses. Even unbelievers, they know Moses. Even people call their children Moses. Because he walked with God. Even in the highest heights, when Moses could say, if I be a man of God, you will not die a normal death. And Moses will say, the earth will open up and swallow you, and it will happen. Even with that power, even with that glory, even with that anointing, his prayers was like, Lord, if I have found grace, please show me thy ways so that I may know you. Many people, when they reach those levels, they forget God. They become too busy. Now they are thinking about their contacts. Contacts. Eesh. This Sunday I must go play golf because that person is there. If I can just talk to that person, that deal. Hey!
Yes.
Be careful. Tell anyone, say, be careful.
Be careful.
Don't forget him. Let him be your rock. Let him be the pillar of your life. Let him be your all in all. Let him be your everything. Let him be your friend. Let him be your partner. Let walk with him. Walk with him every day. Walk with him. If you wake up in the morning and you don't feel his presence, say, Lord, where are you? Where are you? I need you today. That's why I like that song. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in you. Yesterday, yeah, you were with me yesterday. So I can't live in yesterday's glory. I need you for today's glory. I need you every day. You know, I'm the type of person who doesn't like to get into something if I don't know whether I can do it for a long time, if I can sustain it. Do you understand? Once I start something, I want to do it forever. So work on yourself. Your prayer life. Let that thing be as important as your food. Every day you pray. Every day you pray. Every day you pray. Every day you read the Bible. Every day you worship God. Every day you love him. I tell you, the giants will fall, and after they've fallen, you remain on the top. You will never go down. Never, ever, ever. Put your hands together for Jesus and celebrate. So number one, when you've killed your giants, all the other smaller Nyana demons will run away. All your problems will disappear. And you know, a giant has fallen. Number two, when you've killed a giant, suddenly you will be recognized. Suddenly your name will be known. Suddenly people will look for you. And number three, things will start coming in your life with ease, without toil. You'll start. Just suddenly you have a house. I had one pastor say that, you know, this month I've given away 46 cars. 46 cars. He said, I don't have any space to park them, so I just give them to people. His church has got 90,000 members. He's killed giants. So now he doesn't have to fight. The things that people are fighting for, waking up in the morning, going to meetings, it's cold, they are going to meetings. The boss is busy rubbishing them. Some people, 46 in a month, they just, you fighting for one. You even go, hey, 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 it's for me, man. Hey, I don't know, what do they chant? Okay, act like you don't know, it's all right. Just kill the giant. I would love to give away a house one day. Houses. For free. Not that I'm giving you a house, then you must do that. Oh, I want a deal. Just say, here's a house. God bless you. God loves you. And you disappear. One of the pastors I'm following of late, he's helping people with their education. He's got a fund where he's just paying for people's school fees. So there was one young girl, I think she must have been about 10 or whatever. He found out about her and started paying his fees, her fees and so on and so forth. And even forgot that that person exists, but will be paying every month. Later, he was just walking and a woman came by and said, Pastor, how are you? And said, okay, how are you? I said that I am the girl that you've been paying school fees for from when I was young. Now I'm an accountant, now I'm this, now I'm that. That's what I want to do someday. But the giants must fall first. We can wish, we can desire, we can long. If the giants haven't fallen, we will not enjoy our promised land. We must take them down. Tell the neighbor, we must take them down. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Put your hands together for the Lord. Let's rise to our feet.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.